Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And we are here with a special Star Wars news edition, a Star Wars reaction edition. We're not doing trailer reactions, but we're going in deep to our reactions and our discussion with the, I guess I'll say, surprise and an Ahsoka trailer. But Joseph, it is the official Ahsoka trailer ahead of the series.
Yeah, it isn't a surprise that a trailer came out when Ahsoka is premiering on August 23rd. But it was a surprise, just like, yeah, no convention, no whatever. And then just, hey, one day, stop everything you're doing because here comes Ahsoka kind of trailer. But I really appreciated that it has been this sort of slow drip of information reveals. Here's a photo. If you're at the convention, you know, and in the panel, you got to see Thrawn's big blue face. And now here's the, like, all the cards are on the table. So now we're going to start showing you how we might deal them out. It was an exciting trailer. And I think a well-designed campaign so far.
Yeah. Exciting trailer indeed. And yeah, now everything's out there. Most things are out there, right? Now we don't have to play that game of, well, did we only see it in London or did you see, what was it?
I think it was the shot of Thrawn taking a shower. That hasn't been revealed yet.
Thrawn at Del Taco. They didn't cover that one, right? No. And as far as surprise for me, like, I got to own it. Like, we always joke, and our Force Center listeners are so great in the Discord of playing along with the joke of, we record an episode on Monday, we release it Tuesday, and then Lucasfilm breaks news the minute after the podcast loads up, right? And it's true. It happens a lot. But it's a joke. And obviously, it has nothing to do with us. No one at Lucasfilm gives a damn about when we record or release episodes. But this dropped yesterday, Joseph, and I actually was upset. I was like, come on. Yeah. I have such a busy week. Joseph's swamped. We can't record this now. What are you doing to us? I didn't watch the trailer for an hour or two because I was just upset, which is silly. In the world's way more problems in the world than us. But I was like, come on. Monday morning. Yeah. This Monday morning.
I felt the knife twist of that joke because we call our new show Breaking News from a long time ago because I'm entertained by that contrast of, yeah, Star Wars happened a long time ago and it's breaking news. But unfortunately, that title to me, which is a fun joke, starts becoming true when we're talking about news that is a week old. Well, there's actual breaking news. And the twist of the knife this time was I was literally writing up the tweet in the Facebook post of our news show as this was dropping. And just like, I feel ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we both went through it. I waited the same thing. I was like, I was also just in a crunch mode. So I waited like a good 2 hours and was well rewarded by the trailer that I saw.
Indeed. Well rewarded. We're going to dive in. You're going to lead us through it here. But I'll say up top, too, before we even get into overall reactions, this is a type of trailer. And look, there's never been a bad Star Wars trailer to me because you're excited, right? And excitement drives you through it. But there's just something about this one as we dive into it. But yeah, I've been texting with a lot of friends of ours, you know, the Alden Diaz of Octoradios, Alex Damon, Star Wars Explained, Lauren Romo, the Galactic Podcast. It just kind of ignited us. And a lot of us all have a little bit of that, I don't know, cynical view towards Star Wars discussion right now, where you're just kind of bummed out by the discourse or just everything. And then we're going to fight over Hera's eyes for a week. All that gone. All nothing but excitement and joy. And that's what brings us to this conversation today.
I really agree with that. I think it is a needed burst of just joy and excitement and anticipation. And I'm sure there will be some challenged reactions. And I'm very interested to talk about the reaction from lots of different kinds of Star Wars fans, which we'll get into in a moment. But yes, let's dive into our overall reaction, our excitement level. I'm going to start this part of our discussion, Ken, with one word from myself, and then I'm going to pitch the question to you. And the one word I want to start with, I was looking for the word to describe my, like, burst of excitement at the old and the new of this trailer. Of like, what's the right noise to capture that? And then I realized the answer is in the trailer itself. The noise I'm looking to make is also the name of one of the characters I'm most excited to see, and that is Huyang.
That's it. That's the
That's
one.
My overall reaction. Huyang. It's the name of a great and bizarre droid voiced by a Doctor Who actor, but it's also a great way to capture my emotions. So that's my starting bid on my overall reaction excitement level is Huyang. Yeah. How about you?
I'll let you. That is a character you love. I love, too, but that's one of your favorites. So I'm going to let you have that one. And I'll say this is my overall reaction. I was going to trim my beard yesterday. It was on the schedule, right? It takes some work. And then I looked in the mirror and I went, nah, I kind of look like the now, unfortunately, late, great Ray Stevenson as Baylan Skoll. I'm keeping this beard for a bit. That's my excitement level. The trailer got me, just really pulled me in. And a lot of it has to do with, unsure of what the show really was going to be. We're going to discuss it, Rebels 2.0, blah, blah, blah. So all that, trusting Dave Filoni enough, but also knowing that, hey, it's a different part of his career. He just worked off Mando, Book of Boba Fett, and those have similar but different vibes and things that I love that he's done the past Rebels and Clone Wars. Just what's going on with this, and how does this fit into the big picture? And then this trailer to me, my overall reaction was the trailer kind of said, "Oh no, we are the big picture," and I just kind of got pulled in by this potentially epic Star Wars story. And if does it sound like I'm completely geeking out and losing a sense of normalcy? Yeah, I am. That's how great I thought this trailer was in terms of just Star Wars joy, which we need right now.
We do. Yeah, I really felt the same way. I think the trailer, and we'll see if the show is the same as the trailer, mm-hmm. is this interesting balancing act where in some ways it is the ultimate, to put it from a slightly negative filter, the mm-hmm. ultimate homework show, where I think we're in this time in our culture where people both love interconnected stories, which are extremely rewarding if you're in it and yeah. and you already know everything, but that people who are kind of only partially in go like, how many episodes of what do I need to watch to watch this one, and do I need to see 18 movies to watch this one? And in some ways it is that, because there's a relationship with these characters. And I thought everybody who has been a fan of these characters, a fan of animation, the Clone Wars and Rebels, a fan of Thrawn since the 90s, Heir to the Empire, name check. There are these specific pockets of Star Wars fandom where this is just like, it is your Christmas, 4th of July, whatever birthday, whatever holiday you celebrate, rolled into one. Here you go. That is a huge part of the excitement, is the animation fans, the Thrawn fans, the Rebels fans, the Ahsoka fans getting served a delicious meal on a platter for them.
Yeah.
But I also thought, I took this trailer made me take this huge step back and go, forget Clone Wars exists, forget Rebels exists, forget Heir to the Empire, forget Timothy Zahn ever hit one key on a keyboard.
Yeah.
This trailer gave me this huge sense of classic original trilogy vibes. Not that there isn't a ton of prequel stuff and building off Clone Wars stuff and different vibes and all that. And I'm not coming at this from a point of original trilogy vibes are the correct vibes at all. Mm-hmm. I'm just responding to kind of what I grew up with. And I saw this trailer from the filter of, imagine if this was brand new and I didn't know these characters. And all I knew was Return of the Jedi ended. And then a few years later, there's this cool Jedi lady who was trained by Darth Vader before he fell to the dark side, but she walked away from him. And now there's some creepy blue guy who wants to bring the Empire back, and Mon Mothma's going to deal with it. And there are a bunch of people running around wearing those, you know, cool rebel outfits that General Madine had, you know,
maybe.
And a new dark threat is rising, and there are lightsaber fights and ship battles, and they're just bleeping wars in the stars. It gave me not just the feel of kind of some of the classic just Star Wars lightsaber fights, weird mystical places, ship battles, aliens is the main characters, the Mandalorian woman who fights with a lightsaber. It just feels to me like it's kind of approachable from the outside if you've been away from Star Wars for a while. I love that we've explored different territories and different tones and textures. I think that's really needed. I think that happened with Kenobi, definitely happened with Andor. I think it's been happening with Mandalorian. This kind of feels in some ways back to classic, back to lightsaber fights, ship battles, thrills, emotions, family, Star Wars.
I give you Force Center well said for that. Down to, you know, shots of a fleet in space, you know, ships. Yeah, I feel your vibe on that. The OT vibe or just the Star Wars vibe. And I think this trailer does pass the test of, what do you have to know? Well, maybe nothing. You might be able to figure it out as you go along. You and I and so many others will forever be. We can't separate our knowledge of Ahsoka and Sabine and Ezra. We can't. It's there, right? Because we watched all of it. So I'm curious to see people's reactions to this trailer who aren't super familiar with it or just passing through because, hey, I like that Andor show or the Baby Grogu show is great. That lady from that is in this a little bit. Let me go in here. And I think you have to keep that in mind as a creative. You have to be aware of it. And I think Dave is and his team and all the people around him for years, they get that going back to how many times you and I look at that Mandalorian Gallery episode where he gives the big Duel of Fate speech. He said that one of the big forgotten things in there is like all X-Wings and the TIE Fighters, all that oh, that's nice, but it's just decorations and you know, frosting on the cake, as we might say. And this trailer had all that there, that the core of it is there. The big ideas are there, and you're going to get that if that's all you're here for or just passing through for the first time.
Yeah, yeah, but I really agree with you, and I think, you know, Filoni said, I believe at this last Star Wars Celebration in London, that there was a real, real strong effort to celebrate the legacy of these characters and the continuing journey of these characters and where they're at now, but also a real awareness to make it accessible to people who have not watched the gathering arc of the Clone Wars 18 times like I have, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that commitment is clear in this trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said there. Well said there. And we're going to talk about really the real exciting stuff with the big themes here. But again, overall reaction, Star Wars joy.
Yeah. So let's talk about the main ideas about what's being presented is at stake in the trailer. Let's talk about that and whether or not you think that the trailer is doing a good job of playing fair, and is it turning up the excitement levels on certain ideas, or do you also feel like these are the ideas of the show? So where do you think the ideas are going, and do you trust that they are the ideas in the show?
Yeah, I really do think that they are the ideas, and that there's and you have it in our notes, and we're going to discuss it. But there's some moments that I think might be a little trailer edit, you know, stuff going on of piecing together, splicing together. I know you've been locked in editing for a week now. Maybe your brain's really attuned to it. There's that there, but this is something you had said a long time ago here in the show that I think still holds true. Of no piece of Star Wars marketing in this modern era has lied or tricked you on what the show is about, right? The themes are there. This is why we get so excited about themes. And yeah, absolutely. I think what this trailer is telling us is setting us up for what's to come and what you might think about it and what it might make you feel or ruminate on deep in your soul.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And I agree. I think because for me, the themes are in this trailer are what's at stake for the characters that we left off on in their various journeys, and also really dealing with the state of the galaxy in this time period. And so much has been made of the Mandoverse era. I think, you know, people have been saying Mandoverse. I think it's really going to start shifting to us describing these connected shows in terms of this is the New Republic era, because I think that was front and center as well. So all the ideas in the trailer seem like, yeah, that's what's at stake. So I trust this trailer. With that in mind, let's get into some of the big ideas. I think for me, and we often, I think, get locked onto the same ideas, but then have different headlines for what they are. So I'm curious to see our contrasting headlines. Here's my overly dramatic headline for the main idea. I think there are a couple ideas in the trailer, but for me, the main one is the soul of Ahsoka Tano. I thought that there was, of course, the show called Ahsoka is going to deal with Ahsoka's journey, but what is her journey? I think that there still is the possibility of lots of timeline shenanigans. I don't trust that everything that we're seeing is in clearly. Even this trailer is indicating that time has passed, that there had been an even deeper relationship in time spent between Ahsoka and Sabine, and now we're catching up after that was fractured in some way. You know, there's still lots of Ahsoka's timeline we haven't dealt with. We'll talk about the Inquisitor, but maybe that happened, you know, many, many years ago from this. Ahsoka ages well. Sorry, Obi-Wan. but I think there's so much in the trailer that reminds us of where she's been and then is putting a question on, well, who is she now? As a teen and a young adult, which we got to see in the Clone Wars and to a lesser extent in Rebels, to me, Ahsoka was defined by her compassion in her desire for connection. She made friendships quickly and easily. She was interested in other people and their lives. She felt this strong clarion call of what it means to be a Jedi is to just help people. Don't ever let other people down. I think she's a powerful and compelling character all by herself, but what was powerful about her in the Clone Wars was she was this contrast with Anakin, where they both had this just huge heart and this huge compassion. But Anakin's compassion turned into fear, and Ahsoka's didn't. She was stronger than that. And now she's being presented in this trailer is somebody who is a loner who doesn't want to talk about or think about her past down to the point of just saying, I'm not here to talk about my past, who seems to take pride in her ability to walk away from people. That interaction with Sabine is obviously deeper and it's about Sabine too, but it really felt to me that it was about Ahsoka's soul of like, yeah, I walked away from my master. I walked away from the Jedi Order. I can walk away from anything if I need to. And this interesting idea of a Jedi should be selfless. A Jedi should focus only on the mission that they are committed to or they called to. But there can be not a literal dark side to that, but a coldness. And I think that is what's being shown is Ahsoka's not falling to the dark side, but is she falling into this trap of loneliness, isolation, obsession with only the mission and the goal, or can she let people back in?
Not only is that a well said, I think you've described me in the last 3 or 4 years and my ability to just like walk away from TV shows and lifelong friendships because of dumb things they've done. I'm out of here. And I really love it because you're already connecting this to things that are personal, which is why I think we love hanging around these parts. I'll let you continue. I'm sure you have my more themes, but I'm absolutely enjoying how you're phrasing this, the soul of Ahsoka, because this is the Ahsoka show, and we're gonna answer and talk about some questions about Rebels and Rebels characters, and I think they're very important to the show. The Sabine stuff is what a lot of people are talking about. Oh, wait till I start talking about Valen Skull and Shin Hati. I'm pulled in by those characters more than I thought, but this is the journey of Ahsoka Tano, and that's a great place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So is that what you felt like was the main idea, or did you phrase it differently, pick up on a different strand?
Phrased it differently is a good way to look at it, or just it all filters maybe back up to what you're saying, the soul of Ahsoka and what's going on with her and how her journey affects all these characters. All these characters are important. I don't want any Sabine fans out there to be angry at me, but this is Ahsoka. It says Ahsoka on the title. But because of that, so I pulled out a couple big themes that we can dive in.
Please go for it.
I put down the actions of a Jedi, which is a lot of what you're talking about with Ahsoka. And what makes them? Is it the title or the deeds? We're going to get into the Valen Skull quotes. We're going to get into what we know about Ahsoka or what Ahsoka is saying in this trailer. Even the moment with Sabine, there's a lot of questions about, is she suddenly Force sensitive? I don't think so. I'm intrigued by something like that, but we got the moment of lightsaber out, which we already had known was coming. And then, you have no power. These just what makes a Jedi? And we have a character, Valen Skull, who I think is coming from a similar starting point as Ahsoka in terms of the Jedi Order. And what are you doing with that now? Out of that flows the ideas. Abandonment is big. We got Sabine just out and out saying it like, hey, master, you ditched me. Ahsoka's owning it, saying it. Or like you're saying it. I'm not saying you're saying this exactly. Almost a sense of misplaced pride, which is maybe me again at parties post COVID.
If I can interject just really quick, because I think you're putting your finger on something really great that ties back to Ahsoka's appearance in season two of The Mandalorian in her issues with Grogu. Right. If she is somebody who is saying Anakin was one of the greatest Jedi ever, the most compassionate, and he fell because connection is so dangerous that she is, Yoda's speech in Revenge of the Sith about, you should be able to let go of everything you love, which is so well-intentioned by the Jedi. I love the idea of misplaced pride where Ahsoka's like, watch me drop anyone and anything at any time. I'll stand. If you're telling me your sob story about your life and how much you you need a hug, I'll walk the bleep away right now. And it's good because a Jedi needs to do that, because if they don't, Look what happened to Anakin.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up too. Cause, she has that, I walked away from Anakin line. And I, you know, does she have guilt for this? I'm sure at some point that is like you're saying, like, no, that's what I'm supposed to do. Or maybe, you know, is she trying to convince herself of that? And then the question of, you know, if I stay, does he fall? It's like a what if YouTube video playing in Ahsoka's brain. If I stayed, what would have happened? But I also needed to be me. To me, that moment of her walking away, one of the big whys that pulls me in as a fan is she became herself. But now she's having to define that. That's being challenged. And you know, I'm no Jedi, but yet there's the title of the Jedi over my episode. Not that she's aware of the episode from Mando. So I love all that stuff. Yeah, I think it's huge. And filling, you know, filling out that out a little bit more. Just one of the other themes is this. And it's already been talked about in some of the interviews. So I'm trying to play fair myself by just discussing what's in the trailer. But this, what you're talking about here, it's not just abandonment of Sabine or I abandon Anakin, but did I abandon my way? Did I abandon the Jedi Order? Did I abandon my title? Did I abandon my duty? This is about a return to the cause. We know there is I've been flying solo for a while. I've had a studio apartment. And now I might have to get roommates. And you and I talked about the big theme of this is a post-COVID story. I don't feel Dave sat down to write a post-COVID story in a big literal sense, but it's hard to not connect it to what a lot of us are experiencing of, all right, we took this big pause. And in that pause, some of us learned to bake bread, but a lot of us, most of us learned who we are now. Learned who we want around us, what causes we believe in, what causes we are there for less. And now as things start to merge, by the way, COVID's still there. Friends of ours just been battling it there. But the world is, I'll never say it's back to normal because I believe in the new normal is okay because you want to pursue change and progress and being a better version of yourself. But what does that mean? And I find it harder to go to parties or text back friends. Ahsoka's in the same boat of I don't know if I want to text Sabine anymore. What does that mean? And did I let her down? And I have some of that guilt too. I cut off some friendships of the last couple of years, and I'm like, was that the right thing to do? Was it healthy for me? Was it hurtful for them? And how do I get back to all of this? And I think the return to the cause and the cause is Star Warsy, wars, villains, remnants of the Empire, being a Jedi, training, being a master, being a mentor, all those kind of things. And how do I do that? Maybe she wants to, but how do I do that? And abandonment and solitude has been dominating her life for years.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that you're absolutely right that we can always see reflections of things we're going through individually or as a culture in art. And I think that this entire New Republic era is the era after a tragedy. It's the era after wounds and after the heat of battle. And to your sort of like, you know, you were looking for the right words, as I think we, many of us are when we're discussing COVID. Like, yes, in terms of going to a restaurant, we're back to quote normal. And you know, some of what we all went through during COVID can almost seem like this weird dream of like, what? Am I misremembering that I couldn't go to Smokehouse? I had to just like pick up the cheese bread and bring it home. Did I dream that?
Yeah.
You know, did they sell me cocktails in little like baby formula bottles? Did I dream that? I think that part of the power of moments like that is we are changed. Mm-hmm. We are changed. We are not back to normal. The question is how much do we deal with it and acknowledge it? And I think that's what's going on in the trailer as well, with some of the moments with Hera talking to the New Republic and in this entire New Republic era, where like we're just trying to this was, you know, the alliance to restore the Republic. But we can't just go back to business as usual. But who is trying? That's, you know, theme has been so prevalent in particularly this last season of Mandalorian and even Book of Boba Fett, of like back to the way it was. And a lot of people going, yeah, we're changed. We can't go back to the way it was. Yes, stability, but not just back the way it was.
Yeah. Yeah. We all carry these scars.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, a slight post-COVID detour in our discussion of this great trailer. I'll just say quickly with the themes, then we can move on. I'm really with you on, I think the other big idea was what it means to be a Jedi. what I really like about this trailer, and I think this show, is every issue that's going on is an issue that's in Ahsoka's soul, but then it is spreading out to affect other characters and be supported by other characters. There's Baylan's, you know, literal I'm no Jedi. There is Ezra, who does not have a Jedi order and was not trained in the traditional way, but really, really went on a journey with Kanan, with chats with Yoda, with chats with Ahsoka herself to define for him himself, what are the core principles? What does it really mean to be a Jedi? Mm-hmm. So many great stuff in Rebels when Yoda's really pushing him of why do you want to be a Jedi? And he's basically like, to get revenge on the bastards who killed my parents. And Yoda's like, but really, though, why do you want to have power? And he's like, I want to defend people. I want to make sure bad things don't happen to other people. That's my responsibility. That's what it means to be a Jedi. And I think, you know, Ezra, Sabine rewatching that. We'll talk more about Sabine's journey. But I just think you're right. This idea of, okay, what does it really mean to be a Jedi? What's the difference between the failures of the order and the core ideas that we can choose to uphold or not? Yeah. Is just all over this.
That's like I said, the title of the deeds. What is it?
Well said on the title versus the deeds. We're dancing around it, so let's get into. Are you okay to move on with themes?
Here's the one thing I said, because I was like, oh, I have one more thing, and I was like, no, I'm going to say this for later. But there's this trailer also deals with this kind of I don't even say surface level, but it's very overt and in your face of how best to ensure peace, right? Some think through power, through leader. Baylan Skoll believes war is inevitable. Harris talks about not fighting a war, but that really drills down on some specific characters. So I'll slide it down the notes here.
Yes. Yeah. I did the exact same dance. Let's slide that down there. Speaking of things that we're sliding down, here's where we're going to slide down to. Is there has been great in important discussion about this show is called Ahsoka. So is it Rebels 2.0? And is that a disservice to Ahsoka? Is that a disservice to the characters from Rebels? I think this is the trailer that finally showed us the balance between Ahsoka and the return of the Rebels from the TV show Rebels. I thought it presented the balance in a really elegant way. Here's my main point idea, and then I'm going to pitch to you, Ken. Okay. This idea that I think what we're just talking about is that Hera clearly has an arc and a mission. Sabine clearly has an arc and a mission. This whole thing is, in some ways, about the reconnection with Ezra. But all of those emotional plot threads tie back to the journey that of Ahsoka Tano's soul. Mm-hmm. So it feels like, okay, that's how it's all tied together, is Hera and Sabine have their roles to play, but those roles are all going to funnel back to Ahsoka.
Yes, that's kind of right where I'm at within there. I'll say this. There has been, I think I can even say the word months, of me personally thinking that Rebels 2.0 or Rebels Season 5, I don't know if that's entirely accurate. Then I saw this trailer. My first reaction was, well, I don't know. Maybe that's completely accurate. but I do think when you drill down on it, and again, this is not to slight anybody, especially Chopper, because we didn't see him in this trailer. Not really? Right? No, we did.
We saw one moment of him beeping away.
Beeping away, right.
Honk yelling like he does.
No disrespect to Chop.
Oh, love him.
This is about Ahsoka and the connective thread, because it's even, you got big moments with Hera. I love all the moments we have with Hera. Mm-hmm. Really solidifies her as a cast member in the show. But it almost like she's saying to Ahsoka, like, hey, reconnect with this and us. Right. So maybe if there's an Ahsoka season 2, it'd be fair to call it more Rebels 2.0. It's all there. It looks the Lothal stuff, which is one of the things I was excited to come out of celebration of other people see. Yeah, it looks wonderful. And I can't remember exactly what was revealed in the tease. I apologize, folks. But yeah, so I think this is very much her show as the other things start to connect with it more. And she starts to reconnect with them. Because the idea of what we saw at the end of the Rebels animated series, I guess spoiler warning for people who haven't watched it yet, but hey, get over there and catch up with that series. 4 seasons. You can do it. You can do it. But that season ends with a moment that I think we all thought we're picking up and going. But instead, whether or not that moment's going to be replayed through a different lens or it's a different moment that's similar, we'll find out. I think Dave's got a handle on his own content there. But it's not pick up and go, right? And that's what this trailer is really making it clear. It is not, hey, Sabine, hey, Ahsoka, let's go get Ezra. It is not that. It is about Ahsoka having to reconnect to that. Sabine having to, she's stubborn. She's, they say, well, maybe she's hurt, you know, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And that how Ahsoka is going to be driving that. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
But yeah, Sabine has always been stubborn. So that is a good part of her character. I forgot when we watched Rebels, how much it's a long play story of she's got some trauma in her past that she's not talking about. It takes a long time to get to it. And Hera has to remind people to be patient with her and she'll share when she's ready to share. So stubborn is, I think accurate and relatable. Yeah, I think for me, there's this interesting arc with Ahsoka's character. And I agree with all the timeline stuff of just like wait and see, because to me, it really feels like that we're shifting that this is going to be the ironing out of Ahsoka's timeline, where there are a lot of questions about it. And this will all smooth it over. So we'll all know when we watch this show. But I like this perspective that for various amounts of her life post walking away from the Jedi Order, she has lived the lesson that we saw her kind of rediscover herself with Trace and Rafa in that final Clone Wars season of like, for her definition of like a Jedi helps people when they encounter people who need help, which is all fine and good if it's sort of like on this small level of I'm here in this village, I'll help these people. But then there's this sort of the commitment to the bigger cause. And if she's now in this place post Return of the Jedi, post encounter with Vader, where she is feeling like, okay, but now I'm seeing a huge threat to the galaxy. That's the neighbor who's in jeopardy.
Yeah.
The entire galaxy. And I feel this responsibility to respond to it, even though it means doing all these things I don't want to do, engage with all these people. So from that lens, Hera is helping Ahsoka with the big galactic side of this, the military threat posed by the darkness rising. And then Sabine, we'll talk about it in great detail, but you know, she's on her own journey, but clearly she's key to defining Ahsoka's relationship with connection and what it means to be a Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Two pillars on the road, two signposts right there, right?
Yeah.
And Ahsoka's weaving and driving through it.
Yeah. So let's get into the details of the Rebels themselves. Let's talk about Sabine in particular. I think her possible arc became much more clear. I think the trailer was playing fair in this idea that maybe she is on the path of being a Jedi in spirit, if not in force ability. Did you read that the same way? And what's intriguing to you about that?
Yeah, I'll start here with some of the gut reactions out there. I'm not opposed to some discovered force sensitivity or a feeling. And I know a lot of people think of what happened with the character of Finn in Rise of Skywalker, and some people love it. I'm intrigued by it. Some people didn't like it. Some people thought it was mishandled. And I think it's all valid from certain points of view, to be fair. So I think that my initial thought is, upon the trailer, she called her master and she got lightsabers, she got Ezra's. Maybe she felt a tingle over the years. Who knows? But I really, at the end of the day, don't think that's the case, right? I really don't think that's the case. I do think it's about what you're talking about. Now, again, I'm saying this because any crazy theory or any theory, Star Wars or otherwise, do I think there's alien crafts we recovered? No, but I'll leave a 5% chance that maybe it's true. Do I think Sabine's a Jedi in terms of midichlorian count? No, but I'll leave a percentage open just because that's the way theories kind of work. But in keeping with the main theme of the show we're discussing, what does it mean to be a Jedi? You have Shin Hanate saying to her, you have no power. I don't think in that moment, the way it's played, we don't have the full context of the scene. It's not Kylo telling what he thinks he knows to Rey or what he thinks he'll could hurt her as he tries to control her. It isn't Palpatine lying to Rey. It isn't any, character lying to another character from a villain standpoint. I think Shin Hanate's saying it out of some actual truth, almost kind of some surprise, almost as if, how are you doing this? You have no power. Let me remind you, you don't have the force. But this is asking this main theme of what is a Jedi, what you're talking about. Sabine could fall right into it as she has her very own distinct journey. This is not unlike we got her being trained by Kanan. with the Darksaber. That was some of the most Jedi stuff we've ever seen. And at no point did she say, oh, and I'm Force sensitive, or Kanan say, you can find the Force. None of that. It was just like philosophies and what this really truly means. And you know, by the way, you have a blade, so you're going to have to learn how to use it. So I think all that is driving this story.
I really agree with you, and I am open to being 1,000,000% wrong in you know, putting my money down in Vegas and losing my shirt.
Yeah.
But I do not think she is Force sensitive. If she is, wonderful.
It's and interesting.
If she is, I trust that there's a storytelling reason and a thematic reason for that. And I know that we've talked about it before on Force Center, and I know it's complicated because I think people can feel like people do feel strongly that the philosophy is everyone is connected to the Force. And and if anyone who trained hard enough could, you know, throw rocks with their minds.
Yeah.
And I always have them. I love hearing those conversations, those perspectives. For me, the way I always look at it is everyone, in my opinion, is gifted with different strengths. Mm-hmm. And the question is what you do with those strengths. And I think we all connected through the Force. The Star Wars characters are all connected to the Force because the Force is a reality, whether you feel the tingle or not.
Yes.
As you said, but to me, the more interesting idea is, yep, if you have even more power and you can throw rocks with your mind, then there's it perhaps an even deeper responsibility to use that power responsibly and proactively and all those things. Mm-hmm. But the ideals of what it means to be a Jedi, to focus, to train hard, to look into yourself for your truth and your skills and what you can do to help the most. Being a Jedi is a code. It's a way of life, a way of interacting with yourself and others. And it has deep ties to the Mandalorian culture, which also has all of those things, a code, a way of life, a way of interacting with yourself and others. And I'm really fascinated by this idea that Ahsoka's wrestling with what it means to be a Jedi. The arc of Ezra in Rebels was wrestling with that, coming to this great peace. So I think it's meaningful that Sabine is watching that message and reminding herself of what it is she's trying to be. I think it's really compelling to Ahsoka's journey of what it means to be a Jedi. I think it's a compelling idea for somebody like Sabine who lost her Mandalorian family, most likely. We'll see what the truth there is for her family. Lost her Rebels family. Maybe briefly had this sort of family thing with Ahsoka, where Ahsoka was continuing the training that Kanan started,
right?
And training her, you know, not in the Jedi way, in the Jedi arts, but also, you know, she's a Mandalorian who's trained to fight. To hold their own with a Force user, that her culture is partially based on it. So all these ideas that she can be this person, this Jedi Mandalorian, without ever throwing a rock with her mind, is really compelling to me. And I think that I feel like it's going that way because of the way she's being mocked by Shin, you know, you don't have this power. And Sabine saying like, I have all these skills and all this training and it's an ideal I can live up to. And it makes it even more compelling that Sabine, you know, either approached Ahsoka or Ahsoka approached Sabine, and they both agreed that she could basically be a Padawan. And then that got severed.
Yeah, no, all of this is great stuff. And not to be too jokey, but I think the scene continues and Sabine says to Hati, you fool, I've been trained by the Jedi arts by Count Dooku, and then four arms come out. You can learn this stuff, right? And even if you even if you get the skills to fight with sabers, what do you do with it? Like you said, great, you can throw rocks. Who are you going to throw those rocks at and why? It's the question behind all of this. So yeah, I'm with you. There could be, I'm not just being casual with it. Like, all right, if she suddenly is like, you know what? I moved a rock. I think I might have the Force. That interesting, and how are we going to deal with that, and where are we going to go with it? I think that doesn't fit in currently with the theme that I'm picking up on, and seems like you're picking on it up as well.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's there, I'm sure it will be for a reason. But I think this is really cool and interesting. And besides the Hu Yang, that was the biggest pop of the entire trailer for me was her saying master to Ahsoka. So great.
Yeah. It, again, final thought for me, what makes a Jedi is the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law type of conversation. So.
Absolutely. And we'll get into the, even more of that as we talk about your beard sake, Baylan Skull. So let's talk about Hera. We get some Hera time. Hera's trying to prevent a war. What did you think of that as a way to highlight Hera?
Love this, especially ties in with a lot of storytelling she's appeared in. That's one of those things I want to shout out our buddy Alex Damon, who highlighted on the Aftermath series. She's a general who's trying to end all this. And the focus is often correctly on her as a mother of the group. You, me, and Jennifer talked about the possibility of Jacen Syndulla and now literal motherhood, and that's so much of Hera. But she's a general, a fighter, a warrior, and she's been doing that her entire life, as we've learned. She's emerged from the rebellions on Ryloth. She's definitely her father's daughter, definitely her mother's daughter. She's there for a fight, but war's not make one great, right? Mm-hmm. And that rings through all of this, and she understands it. She sacrificed so much. And we, again, talked about the possibility of Jacen Syndulla, even without any news leaks. That's been something we've wondered, and a lot of fans have wondered for a while. But the fact that we're not sure if Jacen Syndulla is in the show or how much he might be in the show is indicative of the problem that Hera knows about war, the sacrifices. Jason's father is dead. She hasn't been able to be around him as much because Jacen hasn't appeared in storytelling. That might be some behind the scenes reasons and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't matter. In the story, he's not been there, or she has not been around him. And that's just on that scale. So who else or what else has she had to be absent from because of war? What would the galaxy be absent from because of war? She fights not because she wants to, because she has to. And to have her up here in front of the New Republic, in front of Mon Mothma, I can't wait for that stuff. In front of Kaz's father, to be like, we've got to stop this. I'm asking you to stop this because I'm good at this. In fact, I might be great at this. I'm still one of the best pilots in the galaxy. That's not why we need to come together. And I think that's big, and it's important, and it's I don't know, kind of respectful of the entire person that Hera is.
No, I really agree with that. I think that she is presented as a fighter and a nurturer. Mm-hmm. She is somebody who is always clear about other people's needs and reflecting exactly what they need to hear, which she does in this trailer. She does some momming or just good older friend, some aunting to Ahsoka of like, you know, who you need to reach out to, and it's Sabine, and you know that, but I'm going to tell it to you out loud. Great stuff. But she's also like a fighter. She's also the one who's like, well, if that needs to be done, then I'm going in with the ship and I'm doing it. There's no hesitation, fighter and nurturer. But she is in this great tradition of the main goal of heroes in Star Wars is to not have wars in the stars.
Yes.
and that's clearly going on. You're seeing her piloting, fighting, choppers, getting in on it. But she, you know, wants to be able to have something. Hey, they've spent all this time fighting for some peace. Can we have some peace? Mm-hmm. And I'm really, it made me really intrigued to see the plot mechanics of, you know, what proactive thing does she feel the New Republic needs to do? And there's a part of me that even feels like maybe what she's trying to get them to do is there should be some limited military action because there's something that we need to shut down before it becomes something much bigger. And there's a hesitancy to do that because Mothma has this great and noble idea of like, we can't show a fist to the galaxy. We need to stand down. And this, it's classic Leia storytelling. I think Hera's her own beautiful character, but I think it does pick up on this theme of really making that decision of when you need to be proactive, when you need to strike, and when you need to step back.
Yeah. I think you could, can almost be a separate episode of Mothma's place in the story because we know so little. I do know there was an interview for Genevieve O'Reilly I didn't read about her playing the not different versions of the character, but the character in different shows now. And I just didn't want to dive into it for any spoiler reasons, emotional spoiler reasons, I should say. But I'm really intrigued by what we know of Mothma, in this time. And how much that will translate. I'm not expecting every quote from every book that Bloodline or Aftermath or anything from Mothma to make it to these shows. But the spirit of, yeah, we won, let's stand down. Like you said, no fist to the galaxy, but that doesn't mean there aren't threats. And we know Leia kind of deals that with later on, not directly with Mothma, but just maybe those in the galaxy who would have apathy for this kind of thing. So to have at this point, to have that might be the crux. And I was excited to see that. And again, not just in keeping with established canon in this timeline, but the emotional canon of no, we need to do this. Trust me. I don't want to lose anymore. I don't want to sacrifice anymore. I don't want other people to have to make the sacrifices I've had to make, says Hera to them. And it's time to fight, or at least time to face this problem.
Yeah. Face the problem, make it go away before it gets bigger. And I think framed by that beginning quote from Baylan of war is inevitable. That's what he wants. Let's talk Ezra in hologram form. What did you think of this first glimpse with dialogue? Again, I have lost track of what we saw that was public and what we were really privileged to see the expanded Ahsoka trailer with additional stuff. I'm pretty sure everybody saw hologram Ezra, but now hologram Ezra talks in this trailer. So what did you think and what are your hopes for him in the series?
Yeah, despite anything that may have been out there before, this is the biggest chunk. And I really like it. I even kind of left this part of my notes somewhat blank because just want to feel it out. I like it. I like the sound. There was a zoomed in photo I saw online that was like, oh, wow, they nailed it. I don't need it to be exact replica of what we saw in animation, but I was like, no, it looks good. He looks good. And so I'm excited about that. I really grew to love Ezra. He was a little bit of a challenge for me at the beginning of Rebels, and moved past that fast is I think some of the best kind of heavy, kind of thoughtful stuff comes from his character or is around his character in Star Wars. And in terms of hopes for the series, though, I will say this. This is why I left a little blank. I don't know how much I want him to factor into the story. I don't know how much he will. If that hologram, which might be or might be based around or very similar to some of his final recordings, in the Rebel series. Is that something Sabine goes to draw upon constantly? Not that I only want Ezra to appear as a hologram, a tiny hologram in the series. There's no guarantee of a second season, right? Especially, state of the business right now as it is with the labor stuff going on. So I do want it to see Ezra, but that he's more of a, right now to me, a guiding light for Sabine, especially. I don't know if that's how high on the task chart for Ahsoka. She's got other things, the Thrawn of it all, but Ezra's tied to that. So what is her relationship with Ezra? So my hopes are that he's involved. He definitely matters, but I don't know if I'm expecting him week to week at all.
Yeah. My expectations are set to let's find out in terms of the quantity of Ezra. I have no expectations. The hologram I thought was great because it did capture his look and it really captured his sound. I love seeing different interpretations of the character. I'm so excited for Ezra. I combined Hera and Ezra to Ezra. I'm not shipping them. That's not. It was just.
I thought you said Ezra, and we were singing Better Than Ezra songs from the 90s, and I love it.
I just said Ezra because I got too excited because I was thinking about Hera and Ezra at the same time. But a great Star Wars name, Ezra. I really like Hera, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead is Hera, and it's not a criticism, but her voice is it's a little different, you know. I think I love Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo. The voice is pitched a little bit different, just naturally as a human than Harrison Ford. So like, it's not a make or break for me. But this hologram was like, damn, that's Ezra in voice.
Yeah. Yes. Loved it. Yeah. With you on that.
So I'm hoping. I'm not even hoping. My expectations are wide open. I think it could be he's in half of this. They find him in episode 3. He could be in one or two episodes. He could be in it as little as one or two scenes. It could be a hologram, and he could be in the last episode. The only Ezra super big hope I have is if they do find him this season, I want to see him changed, which I expect he will be. But I think there's kind of been this like, okay, well, where exactly did he and Thrawn go? Where is Purgletown? Where is Purgatory? Right. You know, but this huge question for me is, if they do find him, obviously, whatever situation that Ezra and Thrawn ended up in when they landed wherever the Purgles were taking them, Thrawn has rebounded from.
Mm-hmm.
Has Ezra? Is Ezra on Thrawn's ship in a cage? Is he a wandering nomad being a Jedi in a far away, bizarre to him world? Trying to get back for years and years. So are we going to meet like older nomad Zen Jedi with an eye patch?
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, almost going to be, you know, this awful Echo like story where he's hanging in a ship being experimented on? Like, there's huge questions of who he is when we find him again.
So, almost to counter myself, what the thing you're suggesting of maybe he's in over half the season and they find him early. I'm actually laughing because that's one of the things I absolutely loved about Mando season 3, right? He's going to go bathe in the, oh no, he did it. And, and you kind of get over that big plot hump, right? The search for Ezra. And then you can deal with what that means once you find him and what it means to the theme and the big thesis statements of the show. And that's intriguing to me as well. I think part of it is, I'm so intrigued by all the other characters they presented in this show that, hear me out here, almost like I don't need Ezra, which I do. And I don't want Ezra fans to get mad at me. Just like I don't even need Thrawn. I don't want Thrawn fans to get mad at me. Like they're like, yeah. To me, it's like, yeah. We'll find him. I want to find out what's going on with Hera and Sabine and Baylan Skull. And that's a good thing to me, where you have a deep roster of talent on this team right now. And that does slip into sports, but you can win a lot of championships with a deep roster. And I'm excited about that. So the fact that I have a little bit of a blank slate for me on Ezra just means I'm going to be surprised and fulfilled by whatever they give me with that character.
Yeah, I think it might be an expectation trap because I think so many of us have lived with the end of Rebels where it feels like, All right, Ahsoka and Sabine, time to go get Ezra.
Yeah,
and that's
obviously
a part of it. That's in the trailer, the loss of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like from the trailer that Ahsoka is dealing with a larger problem than like, well, everything's kind of cool in the galaxy. I got a lead on Ezra. We should finally go get the kid. Mm-hmm. Go get our little brother. It feels like what the search for Ezra is tied to something that they have to do to stop Thrawn and Baylan and protect the mystical force places that are being violated. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's an expectation trap. I think before I knew anything about Ahsoka, I thought the show could be called Ahsoka : The Search for Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's part of it, but it seems like from the trailers, it is not the main thrust at all.
And yeah, and I think that's what I'm reacting to, where it's, I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Ezra's in this too. You know, like, and again, I think that's a bonus. I think it's so full of potential big ideas and big moments, and they don't need Ezra or Thrawn, but they're going to have them. And we're going to talk about a Thrawn moments, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. So people were also thrilled to see the droid paying homage to the Kenner R2-D2. Do you think Chopper is jealous that all the talk is centered on that new droid?
He's in that like ship, right? The New Republic on the Lothal Highway. Chopper cut the brakes on that ship. And that's going to be an entire episode. Chopper's Big Day Out Part 2, where he goes and gets revenge on this droid.
Well, I almost hope that there's a Chopper episode like the episode that was, you know, almost entirely on Coruscant in Mandalorian season 3, where like we're so excited. And then just like, well, and now this is episode 4 of Ahsoka season 1 is Chopper's big day out.
Do you think this droid is called K3N3R? So it kind of looks like a shortened version of Kenner.
Yeah, I think he's like KNR-77 or something like that. Yeah. 78, excuse me, yes, for the action figure aficionados. They didn't make it out in 77.
Yeah.
Now, I love the action figure tributes. Now we just need to see a big freakish shaped head Han.
Big freakish Han. Yeah. This is the stuff that Dave and the team are good for, right? You got the E-Wing from Legends in there, and I know a lot of people are excited about that. And you know what? I'm not familiar with it, but it looks great in the trailer towards the end there.
Yeah, all sorts of great Easter eggs as well. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back to talk about the baddies back in a moment.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Force Center. Joseph Scrimshaw. I'm Ken Napsok. We are in a virtual studio. We are diving deep into the Ahsoka trailer. And man, I'll cut behind the scenes talk. Joseph and I thought, like, all right, maybe let's do about 45 minutes on this trailer. 55 in the first half. But we're going to get into the villains, as you said before the break, Joseph.
That's right. We're going to get into the villains. We always love truth in broadcasting. I got to get to the airport to go see my dad in Minneapolis. And I'm pushing my airport arrival time because I'm so excited about this trailer and talking about it. It's just so rich and deep. And we're going to get even richer and deeper by talking about the villains. So the world got to see Thrawn's big blue face and scary red eyes. We, again, had the wonderful opportunity to see him in the longer cut of the trailer at Star Wars Celebration. I'm sure anybody who has the internet and chose to has also seen him, but maybe you didn't. Anyway, do you like his look? And what are your hopes for Thrawn in the show?
Yeah, it's surreal. I'll say this. It's a bit surreal. And if you go back to 14-year-old Ken alone in his room on a Friday night reading Heir to the Empire and show that Kenny this clip, other than it not being Jack Nicholson like I wanted in 1991, a story I've told before, I know it's really good. And I think Lars is, Grace is watching The Witcher. I don't really watch The Witcher. If she had The Witcher on the other day, I think Lars is in The Witcher. And I just passed by the scene. I was walking from the living room to the kitchen. I was like, hey, Lars, because I'm just now super excited. And I loved his appearance at Celebration. And he seemed so genuinely humbled and overwhelmed by the love that was been given to him. This is a big character. And I've had my issues with Thrawn over the years. I don't love a lot of the new Thrawn stuff from Timothy Zahn. I have to be honest about that. I do love Thrawn and Rebels. I do not love getting into the philosophical debate over whether he's good or bad, because I think he is bad, full stop. Well, all right, maybe in ellipses, but I think he's bad. But that all went away, Joseph, when I saw this, because it's kind of surreal. It's high school Ken's going, oh, Star Wars is still a thing. This Thrawn guys are, oh, I like this. And that's why I think I'm having so much fun with this trailer. Any doubt, any cynicism, any problems I have with the philosophies of Thrawn, out the window. Good to see Lars Mikkelsen as Thrawn on screen, and that's great. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I got no problem with the philosophy of Thrawn, and people want to debate it. And I liked the first the trilogy of Thrawn kind of dealing with the Empire. We read the first book in the Thrawn in Inches Space book, and I enjoyed it. For me, it was just I couldn't keep up with all of those books. Yeah. And I know some people who've read all those books feel like it paints an even more sympathetic picture of Thrawn, and I am extremely open to that, but I am still of the opinion that even if he has the most justifiable motivation, he is doing horrific things in service of that. And I can almost hear people typing the tweets now. Maybe I'll just read the summary of those books. That will continue to be my opinion. And the reason that I even bother with that is because that's one of the things I'm most excited about is what does Thrawn want in this era? In the Rebels era, he is committed to working with the Empire, understanding them, getting control of the galaxy, and making things safe for his people. We don't dive into that in Rebels, but we know what his motivation is in that era. His motivations might be similar to what they are in the Heir to the Empire books, but also I think Filoni is very open to change in interpretation. It's very clear, like, okay, well, on a practical level, he's emerging as the heir to the Empire. But for him, for the character Thrawn, why does he want the Empire back? Is it revenge? Is it a chance to claim this part of the galaxy for the Chiss? Is Purgletown or Purgatory in the unknown regions? Did he go home? And if so, is he coming from a motivation of a place of, like, I've reconnected with my people, I'm doing this now truly for my people. All that to me is on the table, and I'm really excited by what does he want, as not as a plot but as a character.
Yes, yeah, that's one of the great questions of why, because you know we haven't heard from him, which by the way is some of the issues I might have with some of the way Thrawn's written. We don't get to see his perspective. We only see how other people react to him. But right now everyone's reacting to him as if he's a threat, right? Or if he's a way to get more power. So if he shows back up and is like, no, peace for all. Palpatine's gone. My people, I got some flowers. Ezra and I talked in Purgletown. We did some shrooms out there in the desert. I'm good, everybody. I got a different path to follow with the character. But I'm with you. He is being treated as a threat, and I'm going to say that's because he is.
Yeah, no, I think he is maybe there's always some surprises from the big bads, potentially. Mm-hmm. See Darth Vader as reference. So I wouldn't be surprised for some twist. And that Balin's the real villain, and there is a possibility for Thrawn, not redemption, but for de-escalation. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to see like all of the classic Thrawn fun in live action. The cold, the calculating, everything is a eight dimensional Dejerik game. He's mm-hmm. indomitable mm-hmm. and smart. He's evil blue Sherlock Holmes. That stuff is all fun to me. I love that part of the character. Yeah. The menacing whisper, great. But I also I think what was really interesting about the way he was handled in Rebels is the way they got around the fact of, let's make this character, you can't outthink him. The only way he can be really defeated is something out of his scope of understanding mm-hmm. comes into it. Palpatine's failure also always comes out of, no matter how many times he's exposed to compassion and connection, he just doesn't believe they have power, and he's wrong. Right. And that's what foils him. And Thrawn is sort of like, okay, no fair. I didn't have big, weird, angry, mystical ox guy mm-hmm. that can turn into a storm. I didn't have that on my chessboard, so I could not plan for that. Right. I didn't have hyperspace whales in the drawings, right. so I couldn't plan for that. Mm-hmm. How has he changed by his exposure to the Force? And obviously, you know, from the books, we were aware that there is a culture of Force users called Skywalkers in his Chiss culture. Maybe that comes into it. But I want him changed by the fact that I have been defeated not only by compassion and ingenuity, mm-hmm. but by this larger world, this larger power that can't entirely be compensated for in his world.
I love that. You know, I now know there's some mystical whales in the universe, and that might change your perspective a little bit. And what are you going to do with that? And does he continue on his threat path, or is it something new? Again, I'm joking. I don't think he's coming out of the wilderness with flowers for peace. But I like what you're saying. If he's smart, we know he's smart. It is too one of the things I enjoy about the character. So you know he's going to adapt. You mm-hmm. think he would adapt.
Yeah. But you know, can he not? You know, is that you know, what will be his undoing in yeah. whatever adventures in this season? Because I suspect that he will continue to be, you know, causing problems in that yeah. movie. Anyway, want to say really quickly about his appearance. I love it because it's so over the top of the mm-hmm. like the main villain isn't behind a cool helmet. He's blue with red eyes. This entire show is a triumph of animation and publishing, because I think if you were just mm-hmm. developing a new show, you wouldn't say like, yeah, the main character can't be a green lady with,
yeah,
or with, you know, dangling tails. That's fine for background characters. The absolute main character can't be this, you know, alien looking thing. The main villain can't look like he just, you know, got drunk at a Halloween party and went wild. Those cannot be like, mm-hmm. but they mm-hmm. can now be the main characters of live action because of the power of animation and publishing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's still that's part of fun. I got it a freeze frame right now. I'm looking at it, and it's like, oh yeah, he's painted his face blue. He's got some contacts in, right? That's hard to pull off. Probably hard to pull off for years, and to get it right and to find the way forward. And even you saw the kind of the evolution of the design around Ahsoka, and now we got Hera. I mean, it's a triumph, and it's also just, you know, a little left of normal in a good way. And I'm excited for the series and what it's presenting.
Yeah, no, absolutely excited by that. So there's some intriguing hints about a Balin Skull and Shin Hati. I'm going to have to discover if that is the correct pronunciation, because I don't know if I can keep calling somebody Hati.
I'll tell you what, it is. It is
Hati. Okay. Yeah. Great. Hati. You know what? I'm going to put the emphasis on now, at least that, until we hear how it's said in the show. Because like, just how do you think Sabine's going to handle Hati?
Yeah.
anyway, you know what I mean. No disrespect to any different names at all. So some intriguing hints about Balin and Shin. There is the no Jedi comment. And then I think perhaps one of the biggest pops and revelations of who Balin might actually be, telling Ahsoka that Anakin spoke highly of her. Anakin, not Vader. No, and Vader wouldn't be speaking highly of her, but interesting that that is the name he used. So what are your hopes and dark dreams for these dark force wielders?
Okay, you're going to have to hold me back here, buddy, okay? I'm gonna dump a bunch of Scrabble pieces on the board, yeah, like I do, and you can help us clean it up here for Force Center. I start with this, and this is something I was discussing with a friend of the show, Alden Diaz, yesterday, and this is not his theory, it's not mine, or it's not his research, it's not mine. It was something that was out there, but he had tweeted it, and we've been engaging over it. And it's also, it was out there for us to find earlier, just you don't think of it. And it's also funny because it's such a Filoni thing. And a lot of people might be playing the video game God of War. You might be familiar with this. This is not necessarily new. This is a Force Center discussion of it. I want to be clear there. In Norse mythology, Skoll and Hati are two wolves. Hey, Dave's here. Wolves are here as well. Skoll means the one who mocks, and Hati means the one who hates. Often, I think they're weapons in some other role-playing games and video games, too. They pursue the sun and the moon, and at Ragnarok, they catch their prey as sky and earth darken. I was going through that yesterday, going down that rabbit hole, which is dangerous because that's suddenly how you believe planets are flat when they're round. But, you know, careful those internet rabbit holes. But I was going down it, and it's so exciting to me, Joseph. It's so exciting based on what we saw in this trailer. I think before, it's the design, the presence, the orange blades, Dave saying, yep, those are orange. That's a reason. I'm so excited. They're not Jedi. At least Skoll was. So Balon and Ahsoka might have both walked away from the Jedi Order, right? We have a little bit of Skoll from interviews, and he's been out maybe being a gun for hire. And this is an examination of what we discussed earlier, the core of being a true Jedi. Both emerging from the same spot. And as these two wolves pursue the sun and the moon, you might look at it as light in the dark. We see them killing New Republic officers. There's also their ship. We believe the ship shooting at Ahsoka and the Inquisitor. We'll talk about that. So to me, it's possible that they're not just simply affiliated with one team. And seems less of, let's find our new leader, this Thrawn guy, and lead the dark side of the Force victory. Balon Skoll says one must destroy in order to create. And even their partnering with Elsbeth to find Thrawn films feels a little different to me now than it had been in previous marketing and advertising. And going back to what some of the big themes of this idea of how to ensure peace, and him saying war is inevitable, and their power. And this is a moment that might be cut differently in the trailer. Harris talking about, we can't fight a war. And he's going, no, war is inevitable, but that's how you do this. And he hasn't said this, but that's a little bit of this, like, the Jedi didn't go far enough. That's why I packed my bags and left. If we had gone to our full skill set, we would have won the war and we would have had peace, and we wouldn't have had this period of darkness. And a pox on them. I'm doing it my way. I left to do it my way. Ahsoka has left and is figuring out and has figured out the best way forward for her, but now she's in a spot where she's figured out again. Two sides of the coin. Man, and this is just me looking at this. Who knows what's in there? I'm open to follow it, but I'm so excited. These two characters have become what I'm most intrigued about in the show, not because they're cool looking baddies. And I do think they are. I think they're great class. That beard, again, I didn't trim my beard in the trailer yesterday. I love Morgan Elsbeth. I'm intrigued by that character. Is she got some witch powers? We were talking about that. But man, Joseph, I'm sorry. That's the Scrabble pieces on the board. I'm so excited about the possibility and how this ties into the main theme of what does it mean to be a Jedi?
Yeah. Yeah. I really love everything you're laying down. Excuse me. I had, read about the wolf connection, and I just had kind of a wait and see, and maybe that's just a service level thing. Mm-hmm. To me, like the most interesting thing about that sort of that mythology of sort of, to me, chasing the sun and the moon. I have not done the deep reading. I'm just responding to that phrase, but that to me suggests like everything.
Yeah.
Not just this planet and everything on it, but what we can see in the sky, everything that we can see, we will chase and we will own. The idea of chasing it can also suggest that it sounds powerful, but it also sounds like a a metaphor for it. You're just running around the planet chasing something you can never have you circle around. So lots of fun ways to interpret that. Who knows if that myth meant a lot to people or Filoni was just like, wolves. He always thinks deeper, but there's nothing wrong with surface aesthetics and putting your own, you know, personality and soul and print on things. And the wolves are part of that for Filoni. Yeah. So I love several of your Scrabble layers. I think the biggest one for me is I love the clarity that it seems like this, that Baylan was a Jedi. If he knew Ahsoka, or if he knew Anakin and had reason to chat casually with him. So that meant that, you know, would imply that he walked away and went somewhere else in order to return with an orangish blade and a new apprentice. That is so compelling to me. I think it is along the Dooku lines, along the Pong Krell lines, along the Anakin and Tarkin conversation, the Clone Wars of like, if we just go farther, we could just shut this all down. That is fascinating to me because there's always this dark side of us. Is that what a person really means? Mm-hmm. Or is it that inconveniently in that using all of our power and striking hard, I also get to just release my fury, slaughter everyone. And when the dust clears from this necessary rage, this inevitable war, just so happens that I'm the last one standing and I get to make things the way I want them to be. That's always like the dark side lurking under that philosophy, and maybe an interesting contrast to Hera and even Leia at times, if they're like, we do not want this, but we'd see no other choice than we need to respond to this, you know, firmly, strongly, and then be done with it. There's that stuff is all really interesting to me too. Also, I think Baylan bringing up Anakin is great for Baylan context, for Jedi context, but also like in the mission to be to make this show exciting to people who have not watched every episode of Clone Wars and Rebels. If you're our age and you're a grump and you stepped away from the original trilogy, isn't it compelling that Anakin had a Padawan and now she's wrestling with the galaxy that he left behind after being Vader, and you have someone who knew Anakin to throw him in her face? It's so compelling and interesting for Ahsoka.
I can't wait. They're going to have conversations and blades might come out, but I could take an episode of them just sitting down and discussing all of this. Even if Baylan's like, well, see, I'm like a wolf.
And I'm chasing, you know, the entire sun, the many suns of the galaxies, every sun in the galaxy. So I think one of the other things about this trailer that was great is I think because, you know, Thrawn was announced, Thrawn is being presented even by Ahsoka as the threat. I had thought of maybe Baylan and Shin would be agents of Thrawn, but I feel it's much more compelling to me that they see Thrawn as some sort of tool, which we'll get into. I got one more thing to say, and then we'll get into that. A lot of this is focusing on Baylan because of that exciting Anakin line. If Baylan is somebody who walked away, you know, Shin looked like, she could have been a Padawan too. But I kind of am really intrigued by this idea that Baylan walked away. He went somewhere else. He stepped out of it. He's coming back now. And somewhere along the line, maybe in Purgletown, Purgatory, Unknown Regions, he met Shin. And Shin is his apprentice to mirror Ahsoka and Sabine's relationship and the relationship that Ahsoka had with Anakin, and the fact that just on a real practical level, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this because it's all underpinned by the ideas and the themes. The surface is fun. It's the thing that draws us to Star Wars, and then we get rewarded by the depth. But just on a great action figure level, mean old cool beard dude to fight Ahsoka. New mirror apprentice to fight Sabine. Yeah. It's awesome. It's surface level, classic, great lightsabers and fighting. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you're right. When we say surface, that's not an insult. It's just, it's right there for you to enjoy. And in a series that might be answering this question of what does it mean to be a Jedi, to have two who think they have a handle on it, but maybe one needs to learn more and one realizes she is learning more. And then you got the apprentices dealing with the fallout. And again, we talked about that with Sabine of it all. Yeah. It makes me intrigued about the Shin as a character even more. Like you said, that this isn't a backseat for her. What is she learning? What does she think? Where does she end up? What is her view of her master during this time? And at the end of the story, I think it's absolutely, yeah. The two tag teams fighting against each other in the ring at WrestleMania. I like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. I look forward to the dual packs of these characters.
Yes.
So obviously, this is the moment where I think it could be trailer magic combining two unrelated sentences, and we could overinvest in this idea. But there's definitely the suggestion that Dark Force wielders and Morgan Elsbeth think finding Thrawn is the key to power. Because, it's the I'm paraphrasing, but the line of like, you know, what do we get when we find Thrawn? Like power. But that power line is being said as they're interacting with some mystical force that they're getting without Thrawn, or maybe they got that through Thrawn, and that's later. And we want to be very, very aware of not setting up those expectations that some of those trailer cuts sometimes are like showing you three ideas at once, and then sometimes we get kind of locked into a really direct interpretation.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the interacting with this mystical, powerful space? And how it all ties back to Thrawn.
First of all, one thing you said too, of just now the what I think is possibly recontextualization of Skull and Hati not being, you know, sent by Thrawn or agents of Thrawn, that they're now also in the pursuit. That's really extra intriguing and ties to this world. I'm glad it's not directly world between worlds, that it might be related. It might be, it's something completely new to learn. It also could be not as mystical, magical as we might think, you know? Right. But it looks great and it looks out of this world. And I love, Elsbeth being there, and Morgan Elsbeth is an intriguing character. And then also, you know, the fact that she's kind of like supposedly a link to Thrawn, but maybe doesn't know exactly where Thrawn is, just kind of adds to this big kind of MacGuffin, this big search for Thrawn. Really intrigued by the moments and really intrigued. And you talk about just surface level and cool and aesthetics. That's some great stuff. That's some great mystical Star Wars stuff we're looking at right there.
Yeah, I'm very open to her, if not having like, you know, force powers, like just a real exposure to it and a real understanding of it, because it seems like she is the one who understands what this space is and how it can be, you know, manipulated. Yeah, I'm thrilled with the mystical, powerful spaces. I think this is something that Filoni always does a great job on, and I think has a great appreciation and understanding. I think he always makes it important, a priority in these kinds of stories to make the ideas, the themes, how they affect the characters crystal clear, but to make the spaces truly feel otherworldly, of like, we see them accessed in this way and we see their power used this way, but exactly how they can be defined and understood is left open to interpretation, or just tip of the iceberg of, we saw this about the world between worlds, or this about Mortis, but then here's all these other things that we don't know. That's the fun of mystical, powerful spaces, of like, I don't want to entirely understand them. I want to have that awe of the unknown, and I want to keep that open. And I'm so excited to have more of that being explored. And then this is just total speculation. I'll keep it responsible and let it go if it's not a thing. I wonder if they think Thrawn is a power source because he is a military force. And this trailer was just sort of cut together in a different way. And why they want Thrawn is he's a military force and he's got backing again. And they all want to take over the galaxy. Or it could be that Thrawn is after some sort of force-based power source. This is me really spinning off and speculating, probably irresponsibly, but I like the idea that Thrawn being bested by the Force is looking to control and understand this weapon. And is he looking for or has locked down spaces, mystical spaces that he sees not as anything, is just another piece on the board to be weaponized That's really fascinating to me.
Yeah, love all you're saying there. For the sake of time, I'll leave it on the table. But we just don't know. And I'm just way more intrigued about this side of it. It goes beyond now. Oh, we're just searching for Ezra and Thrawn. And it never was just going to be that, to be clear. But that's how you summarize it, when you're just kind of passing through. I'm really, really intrigued. And heartbroken Ray Stevenson is not around to receive all this love. And that's an actor I'd known, wasn't following for years, but just immediately fell in love with him at Star Celebration. Just him on stage, he's just such a presence. And it's carrying over to the show. And to have these kind of layers to this character, it's intriguing stuff.
Yeah, very excited for it. So we're going to head toward wrapping up by talking Inquisitor. The Inquisitors for me, I have a solid lock on. Others, I sometimes like, no, I remember what they did, but what was their helmet like? And which sister are they?
Yeah, right.
And when did they die? All that. So, maybe, Ken, you've been a little bit more keyed into Easter eggs. I don't know if anybody feels like they recognize this Inquisitor. Or if this is brand new, have you heard anything about that?
The only Easter egger I go to is Alex Damon, because he understands that Easter eggs are only 2% of the knowledge you need. And, we were talking about that this morning, and he feels maybe possibly the eighth brother. And I'm sure not alone in that. And I just kind of nod and I go, great. Awesome. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, I think because of the naming convention and the look, they can sometimes be hard to keep up with. Yeah. So I think there's this possibility that this is a flashback to an era when, we don't spend all the time with Ahsoka. During Rebels, she's off having other adventures, but she does look like she's wearing some of kind of her wandering nomad garb that we've seen her in the Mandalorian era. So maybe not. This is clearly jumping around in the timeline, even post Return of the Jedi. So it could be a flashback. It could be that Inquisitors are still lurking this long after the Empire's end. What are your hopes out of another spinning blade Inquisitor?
Well, my number one, my hope is that we actually see him fly away with it like a helicopter, and then we see it in live action, and that a lot of Andor fans and only Andor fans are going to be confused by what they're watching. Anyways, I think flashback, and you and I are using that term because that's the only thing I can use to describe it, but just being the story set in another time, right? And I think that's what you're meaning by that, and I want to be clear about that.
I do not mean Ahsoka going doodly-doo, doodly-doo, doodly-doo. I mean, I think that perhaps the first I think that there's, I'm not saying this is what's going to be, but this is what I'm being open to. The first episode has no Hera, no Sabine. It's just smoothing out. Here's when Ahsoka walks between out of a portal into World Between Worlds, back into the destroyed temple on Malachor.
Yeah.
How long is she there? When does she get off the planet? How does she feel when she gets off the planet? The first episode could just be Ahsoka alone.
Yes. This series starts with Ahsoka alone on a ship, and then she says something funny, and then there's a freeze frame and a record scratch, and then we go 8 years earlier.
Exactly.
But I think it's about simply a checklist of answers, not what you're suggesting, not what I want, but just that it's intriguing to me. And I do think if it's the eighth brother, it has something to do with Malachor. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter to me. It has something to do with that, and Inquisitors has something to do with that era. It could be one. Lingering, didn't know the war was over, or still fighting the war for themselves and are unaffiliated. There's that, again, that scene where they seem to be both being shot at by the ship there that Baylan Skull pilots with Shinati. So maybe, but yeah, I really love what you're saying of just like, how do we get here? And I know you want answers, and I know you love all my sketches, says Dave Filoni, where I kind of hinted at. I get to tell you this story. I'm intrigued by that side of it.
Yeah. No, I'm really, really with you on that. It's about answers because they're a matter emotionally. And if it is, Ahsoka emerging back into the world, and there's no chance at encountering Vader again, he's gone, and it's just the pain. I'm looking at the trailer now. It seems to be forcing a literal spinning blade in a forest, but then there is also that sort of temple space where the Inquisitor figure seems to have droids. I am kind of trying to look at the shots of the Inquisitor to see anything about body type, because you're talking male. My deep hope is for Barriss Offee.
Yeah, right. That name has been floating out there for a while, right? I'm with you on that. That'd be kind of, yeah.
It's just, I mean, if this is Ahsoka's reckoning with her own walking away from the Order, with the fact that Jedi are clearly needed in the galaxy again, and she believes in the tenets of the Jedi, but she's still wrestling with how does that become an order? Should it ever be an order again? The her friend talking about abandonment, who framed her and caused her to walk away from the Jedi Order, along with the rest of the Jedi letting her down. It seems like a pretty good person for Ahsoka to run into thematically. This is not just for me like a checklist person. This is that is an unresolved wound in the soul of Ahsoka Tano, and that's why I want to see her.
Yeah, I'm with you on that there too. I also I did do a Wikipedia, and you know how sometimes, Joseph, we're afraid of those keyboards typing. Yes, Eighth Brother was on Malachor. I get it. It's been a while since I watched season 4 Rebels. It's on my list to do this month. So I don't want anyone to act like I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that side of it. It's a possibility. But just because it might be, just because the design's similar, does not mean it is. And the dangling participle, if you will, of Barriss Offee is something I'm intrigued about, if it's not in this series at some point. And you know it's mine.
Even if that is the Eighth Brother, fine. I hope Barriss is hiding behind one of those trees. The important thing to me is the character coming back.
Yeah, the Eighth Brother is believed to have been dead on Malachor. It doesn't mean a suit wasn't left, you know?
Yeah, right.
And that's wild speculation.
Who's wearing the Eighth Brother's clothes? we are going to wrap up here, so I don't miss my flight. Are there any other big ideas or little details you wanted to highlight?
I going a little bit to Baylan Skoll in Shinhati, I think this could deal with, and this is a big could deal with, the thought of there's really no gray Jedi. You must choose. Are you fighting for the light? Are you fighting against it? And I think this could have a comment on that, but that's just a longer, a deeper discussion we can have some other time. And also I want to wait to see what's actually in the series. This has amped up my excitement a lot. And this series seems big. It seems deep. It seems like a continuation of the thematic discussions in Clone Wars, just as much as Rebels, which is, we sometimes, poke fun at the cult of Filoni. But that's not about Dave and what he brings to it. I'm excited to see him finally get this chance, because it's so far living up to living the hype just on trailers. But that's just the trailers. Can't wait for the show. 2 episodes on August 23rd.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited from lots of different perspectives. This is just it's a thrilling trailer. There are so many ideas. There are so many characters. I made the joke about Hu Yang, but I really love that character. It's a weird, interesting left turn of an idea that the wise ancient figure who helps Jedi create their lightsabers is a droid. What a commentary on the characters of Star Wars that kind of soul, that kind of understanding can come from a droid. The idea that he's back. Thrilled by that. Thrilled by seeing some Purgles. The Lothcat on Sabine's helmet was not just one of those, like, you know, Easter egg. Did you see it? It had an emotional impact, because one of the things that I love about Sabine is her life as an artist, and to get to see that in live action is just thrilling. So those are a couple other details that I wanted to be sure to mention and celebrate. This thing is packed, so I'm sure there's lots of other things to miss. We do recommend always Alex and Molly Damon's videos, but in particular, you want to see whose hat that might be? Alex knows. and shares in a great way. Final thing for me is I will just say a little bit of what I said at the top is, you know, Filoni is somebody who has said in interviews, you know, when he went to his Clone Wars interview, he just thought, like, this will be cool. I won't get the job, but then I'll get to dress up as Plo Koon and go see Revenge of the Sith tell my friends that I had a meeting with George Lucas. He's a fan, but he's also somebody deeply committed to telling these stories, honoring what has happened in the past, the big themes, and putting a personal stamp on it as well. So it feels like art that is coming from individuals, humans. So there's this great sense of here he is getting to tell the story of characters he created and co-created, continuing the Clone Wars, continuing the Rebels in live action. But there's also this sense of this is a kid who grew up with the original trilogy. It's like, I get to show how the battle continued after Return of the Jedi, and really sinking his teeth into that spirit. And that's thrilling.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that there. And all generations welcome. And Dave has been responsible for many generations discovering Star Wars. But going to what you said up top, little OT magic. And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it. Ken, you want to take us home?
I do. We are the Force Center podcast feed. Thanks for listening. If you just discovered us here, we go a little bit deeper. We look at things not from a different angle that other people don't, just from our angle and what it means to us. And I hope you enjoy it. We can be found on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are now on Threads at Force Center Pod as well. Instagram, Facebook page is Force Center Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe over there. You don't want to miss Jennifer Landa's Jedi Beats the YouTube edition is coming July 17th. First episode will be dropping. You can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. Top tiers get access to some new merch that's there as well. So check it out. Check it out. Follow me at Ken Napsok and KenNapsok.com. Joseph, where can they follow you to the airport?
Yes, some freeway probably in a Lyft car. And then you can follow me on social media, Threads in particular. Come join me on Threads. That looks like it might be the viable one. At Joseph Scrimshaw is my handle everywhere. More to come. Thank you all so much.
That's it for this week. For Ahsoka, for Baylan Skull, for everyone. This was Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit. Credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.